Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
Brian Kane here with Marla Townsend, head softball coach at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. And today we're going to talk a little bit about program development, creating a culture of champions and the mental game of softball. Marla, appreciate you taking the time sitting down with us here today to share a little bit of your experience.
My pleasure.
What does the mental game mean to you?
Well, I think that it's taken us to the next level. I mean, we've always brought in good athletes. Athletes that want to be at UAB, athletes that work hard and challenge each other. But I think when we really started putting focus on the mental game, not only my staff grew and developed, but we were able to help the athletes. And the athletes saw the importance, and they saw immediately the benefits of self-talk, of, you know, thoughts become things. And they really saw it on the field, off the field, in every walk of life.
You know, one of the things that you do so well is the signs that are hung up in the dugout and all the ones that are in there. Could you talk a little bit about why you put those there and then some of the signs that you selected to go in your dugout?
Well, I think, you know, Coach Bass, she really did a great job of coming in. And the girls obviously pick and choose, you know, the things that they want to say, as in the mental hole. They bought into that. You know, we put that green line down. You cross that. But just with the whole championship culture, the things, the little reminders, you know, the flush it. You may have not had the outcome that you desired, but when you walk into the dugout and you see that flush it, or you walk into the bathroom and then and you flush it, and, you know, we always put up, even when we're on the road, we have signs that we take with them. And it's just constant reminders that the thoughts that's going through their minds, they listen to them. And it's just a constant reminder and gets them back into their zone.
Talk a little bit about the at-bat routine that you use. You've got the green line in the dugout and then kind of the mental hole or the mental station. What is it that they're doing there? And kind of when does an at-bat start? When does the at-bat end? And could you walk us through that whole process?
Well, first of all, I look over at the dugout quite often, and I'm so pleased with the number of at-bats that's going on. You know, obviously, we've got a hitter in the box. We've got an on-deck. We've got in the hole. Then we've got the mental hole, where then I have several athletes that are actually not in the game at that time, and they're taking mental at-bats, and they're just studying. They're studying the pitcher. So when they step across that line and they're in the mental hole, I want them to visualize and watch that pitcher and almost kind of reflect, thinking through some of their past successes that they've had. Looking ahead, it depends on their personality, and some of them may be, hey, you know, bring it, I dare you, you know. They're going through those thoughts, and then obviously when they go and get in the hole, that's when they're working on looking at the situations they may be coming up to, looking at possibility of what they need to do for the best, you know, for the team. And then obviously getting their timing down and stepping up there and just working the process, going through their routine, which I'm so pleased with their routines. And we actually take time sometimes, and Erica, my assistant coach, can she can do before practice. Sometimes she goes out there and goes through different people's routines, and the girls have a game where they're trying to guess it because they are so, you know, specific, each individual routine.
That's awesome. A little game of charades.
Oh, absolutely.
Routine charades.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that you've established here at UAB in your culture of champions and a championship culture is your core covenants of family, excellence, being competitive, having pride, and being relentless with Team 14. Could you talk about what is Team 14 and what are the core values of UAB softball?
Well, you know, this is Team 14, and I think that they've really bought in. This is a 14th team that's come through UAB. They understand this is the one and the only Team 14, and they take pride in that. And whether you're a senior or a freshman, this is really the only year that you're going to be playing in spring of 2013, and that's what has driven them to work so hard off the field in the weight room and to minimize their stress level off the field, whether it's academics or personal life, so that then when they come out there, they're able to give their best. Obviously, they're competitive. Everything that they do in the weight room, they're competitive, on and off the field. And then the pride there's so much pride within themselves, but there's so much pride for UAB softball and Team 14 in the community and in the athletic department. And I quite often tell them about the people that's come up to me that follow them that they don't even know about, and the young kids that are so excited about seeing them on TV and what a successful year that they're having. The relentless, you know, whether you're talking about Kate Armstrong's 19 pitch at bat against Mississippi State, or you're talking about somebody just battling, or somebody maybe coming back and creating an error and allowing somebody to get on base, and then their teammate picks them up by throwing somebody out that's attempting to steal. It's just one thing after the other. They really define relentless. The family, from day one, we've always had a family atmosphere. We recruit families, not just athletes. And I think that that's one thing that when other teams look at us, they look at us and they realize that we are a family, and that we do it together, and that it takes every individual of this family coming together. Not one person wins, everybody wins. And then the excellence, I think it's proven that we're not going to be perfect. And we've got to realize that, and we strive for excellence. We challenge them to strive for excellence in the classroom, which is going to reduce their stress level. We challenge them for excellence in every walk of life, in the weight room, and definitely on the field, and understand that offense and defense, how it works with being excellent. And they carry their self around in a manner that they understand they don't have to be perfect. If they strive toward excellence every day, then life's going to be so much easier, and it's going to be so much more rewarding.
If you could just address the difference between excellence and perfection, because I think so many times in softball, you get the athlete that tries to be perfect and make no mistakes, and I think it can really be a block to them playing at their best.
Yeah, well, quite often we have to drag out the pictures that we took in January of 2013 when you challenged them to walk on water. So they stepped into the cooler. And when their foot went down to the bottom of that cooler, they realized that there was one perfect person that walked on this earth. And that helps them. And sometimes we have to bring it back down, because being so competitive, there's a fine line between being competitive and understanding you can be competitive. You don't have to be perfect. You can excel. You can have great at-bats. You may not necessarily like the outcome, but that bat can lead into another at-bat that you may get that desired outcome. I think that when they practice, they understand the importance of making adjustments. And that's one thing about being excellent. You can mess up, you can have a bad throw, but you come right back and make an adjustment, then that's striving for excellence. You don't have to hit it right on the spot every time. And that's the thing about team. You know, you can have a throw that's a couple feet offline. All of a sudden, you have a first baseman go up the line, go get that throw, and they tag somebody out. You know, that's team working together. You don't have to be perfect. That's why you rely. We're not an individual sport. Mm. And that really defines the team atmosphere.
Excellent. You mentioned January 2013 and some of the team building exercises. Could you talk about team building in college softball and in college athletics, and what are some of the ideas that you might have for other coaches out there listening to this that they might be able to use to help develop better team chemistry in their program?
Well, team building is so wide. In fact, I've had coaches around the athletic department here at UAB and come to me and ask for advice. You know, whether it's the can, you've got that soda can and that you're trying to all touch it. And you know, whether it's doing that and making them realize everybody plays their part. I like the team building activity that we do, that we put somebody that necessarily is not a vocal leader, we put them in charge, and all of a sudden they've got to talk. They're the only person that can talk in their group and give commands to the team. The team has to follow, and all of a sudden they realize the importance of being a leader. Obviously, the board break, and when we took a 1-inch pine board and put it between cinder blocks, and they actually wrote on one side what they wanted to overcome, what they wanted to defeat, and then what they wanted, their goals, where they wanted to be. And I mean, it was unique in that one of my outstanding athletes, who's very strong in the mental aspect of the game, she had it turned on what she wants to get rid of, you know, and what she wants to destroy, and she tried it 3 times and couldn't do it. And just standing back there, and everybody else was taking their turn, and she just wanted us to look at her and call on her. Well, when we do call on her, she said, "I've got it figured out." She turned it over as to what she wanted, and she broke the board the first time. So, I mean, how strong are the thoughts that go through your mind? Absolutely. So I definitely love that. I love I love the rope drills where you're having everybody stand together and do a warm-up jog together, and you can't slack off. You're connected by the rope, and there's so much more that you could obviously do with the ropes. But just the human knot, there's so many different drills that you can do, and one of my favorite is a tarp. I mean, we pull out a tarp, and all of a sudden, guess what? We got to communicate. We've got to turn that tarp over without anybody stepping off of the tarp. And it's a challenge. And actually, you can even challenge them a little bit more by doing that with no communication. Or you have one person maybe that's not that vocal. We have that one person talking. And it's just a lot of challenges. You can find different ways to challenge the team. And obviously, each team is different. But it challenges them, and it makes them realize how important the team is, but it also helps them with their individual strengths as well.
Awesome. So Marley, you've offered so much great content. If you could go back, you know, you've been coaching now how many years in college softball?
Well, this is 15 college softball, 27th year overall.
So 27th year is coaching overall. For the younger coaches who are out there, if you could go back and do something different. So I guess maybe the question is, what do you know now, having had 27 years in coaching this great game, that you wish you knew when you were first getting started?
That's a great question, because I see so many outstanding young coaches that were a lot like I was. I mean, I'm a totally different coach now. And the girls say that since I adopted Maya, that I've relaxed a lot. But really, I've sat back and looked, and I take pride in looking at each player and seeing how they want to be coached. As a young coach, I was the coach that was screaming and hollering and breaking the clipboard just because I wanted to challenge them, and I didn't know how to funnel my frustration into something positive. And you know, and I motivated them, and but yet a lot of times it was by negative. So now that when I look at younger coaches, my advice that I would give would be, first of all, you got to know the game. You've got to teach the game. We've got so many young ladies that are talented athletes, but they do not know the game. They've got to know how to do an appeal. You know, they've got to know the small rules that make a difference, and it comes down to crucial game-type situations. So teach the game. Obviously, always be a student of the game as a coach, because the game evolves. I mean, you know, back 20 years ago, I was going to a Ralph Weekly clinic, and he was teaching the handshake, just the rollover, because pitchers dominated. We just wanted to make contact. Well, obviously now, it ain't about just making contact. It's about staying on the ball, staying through the ball. So, continue as a young coach, I would definitely go with each athlete, go to each athlete, ask them how they like to be coached. I would have somebody video myself as a coach, because one of the best things that I've ever had a player say to me was that, coach, when I swing and miss or something, I look down at you, I see you roll your eyes or you look away and you're frustrated. Well, that's telling that player that I don't believe in them, and that really wasn't the case at all. You know, I just felt like they were so much better of a hitter than to chase a pitch or take a pitch that they took. So I started having people video me, and I saw my nonverbal communication. And that's something that I strove, and it wasn't easy. I had to work hard on it, and I challenged them to do that as well.
Awesome. Coach, last question for you is, if we could remove the skull cap of everybody listening to this interview, and you could plant one seed inside of their head that would germinate and would help them to be better coaches, better athletes, better people overall, what would that one seed of Marla Townsend's success be that you would plant?
It's make a difference in somebody's life. If I can touch these 18 individuals in all its aspects of life, then I think that they're going to go touch hundreds more people. And if I'm able to help this one camper to come in, and she may not have the best home setting at all, but I can get her pack and help her to understand how good she could be, and I could really help her with that passion and figure out what she's passionate about, and just turn that, funnel that into it, and understand that hard work, you never have regrets when you work hard. And so that's a lot of what I live by, is no regrets. I want to give every day the opportunity. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. And by investing in these young ladies, and investing over the amount of young ladies I've invested in over the last 27 years, I know that they've gone out and touched so many lives, and it's just about making a difference.
Well, I want to thank you again for taking the time to do this interview. I know you're busy. Get ready to head out to practice. And thanks again for sharing your wit and wisdom with the listeners. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. please make sure that you visit briancain.com. That's briancain.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.